Hello and welcome. My name is Robert Bruce and I work as a financial journalist. The aim of this podcast is to provide a short introduction to the work of the IFRS Interpretation Committee, the only body that can issue authoritative interpretations of IFRS. With me to discuss its work are its chairman, Bob Garnett, and Michael Stewart, Director of Implementation Activities. Bob, do you just want to start off and just talk about the committee and what it does?
Yes, certainly, Robert. The committee was formed because there's a need among our constituents for sometimes additional guidance or assistance in knowing how to implement IFRS. Because IFRS don't address every issue, sometimes people develop, using the principles in IFRS, alternative ways of accounting. And if the results are too divergent, then of course it can be very confusing into the market. So in these circumstances, they usually ask for an authoritative interpretation to clarify which of the alternatives is appropriate. So the main focus of the Interpretations Committee is literally to do that, to issue what are known as IFRICs. In addition, there are changes that we make to the standards to clarify what's contained within the standards as part of the annual improvements program. They're working on behalf of the ISB to develop, from a practical perspective, the solutions to clarifying confusing language that's then going to help practitioners to get the answer right. Perhaps, though, I should just clarify that the one thing that we don't do is go looking for trouble ourselves. We rely on the members of the committee to identify topics, and also we have an inquiry form on the website to allow people to submit directly to us an issue where they think there is divergent practice that has developed and where our constituents would like some clarification.
How do you, in a formal sense, how do you go about this?
Well, we actually have a very formal procedure. It's set out in our due process handbook, to clarify for everybody. I won't go through the details of that. That's obviously available on the website. But the essence of it is that if our constituents feel that there is an important issue that needs to be addressed by an interpretation or by a change of the standard through annual improvements, then the committee will consider that request. There is no filtering system, no screening out of things that we don't think are justified. So anybody who submits a comment should know that this is going to come through to the full committee for their consideration. The committee then will look at the issue, will analyse the issue based on the staff's background papers, and then judge it against the agenda criteria that we have as to whether or not it should be taken onto the agenda. But essentially, as I say, that's if there are significant divergence in practice on accounting issues that are muddying the waters in financial reporting, then that really is the basis on which we take a decision then to move forward to either issue an interpretation or to modify the standard through annual improvements.
And Michael, how does that work?
Right, well, thank you, Robert. As Bob mentioned, the staff will analyse the issue that has been submitted by a constituent and present that analysis to the committee for its consideration and discussion. The committee can take a number of routes in response to the recommendations from the staff. One, of course, would be to take the issue onto its interpretive agenda and to work towards issuing an interpretation. That goes through a process of developing a draft interpretation, and that draft interpretation would then be put out for public comment. Those comments, when received, would then be analysed and rediscussed by the committee, and then following that discussion, the committee would decide how to finalise the interpretation. Any interpretations and draft interpretations that are issued are routed through the ISB itself as part of the sort of formal due process. There are other routes that the committee might decide to take, though. One, as Bob mentioned already, is to consider that perhaps the issue could be addressed through clarifying some words in the standards and be able to provide the clarity that the constituent was looking for in a much simpler way through the annual improvements process. Where that happens, then the committee will again be looking at how the standard could be changed and making recommendations to the ISB for that to be included in the next exposure draft for annual improvements. There are, though, a number of issues that would come to the committee where, once the committee has considered those issues against the criteria, might decide that actually it isn't appropriate to do either an interpretation or an improvement to the standards. Now, where that's the case, the committee will explain its reasons for not taking it onto its agenda, and where that's the case, that is published in the IFRIC update newsletter, which is of course available on the ISB website, and that is subject to public comment for 30 days, so that if there are constituents who feel that there are other arguments that the Interpretations Committee has not considered, then those can be considered at the next committee meeting. At that next committee meeting, that final decision would be confirmed. The other way that the committee might consider or deal with an issue is to refer the issue to the ISB for consideration in one of its own projects, either a current project or perhaps one that should be taken onto its agenda. And that would typically be where the issue is perhaps too broad and too fundamental an issue to really be dealt with through the interpretations process or through the annual improvements process.
Thank you. That's excellent summary. Is there anything else that's covered most of the ground? Is there anything else either of you would like to make?
Well, perhaps, Robert, it'd be as well to acknowledge the work of the stalwart volunteers. The committee, unlike the ISB, comprises volunteers. They're drawn from a wide geographical spread. There are actually 10 nations that are represented on the or by the committee members, and that's out of a total of 14 committee members. They're also drawn from different disciplines, so they include those that are responsible for preparing financial statements, those that are responsible for auditing financial statements. We have academic input, we have international organisations like the IMF who participate in there. And also consultants, but all of the members are actually people that are using IFRS in their daily lives. So they have the face-to-face confrontation. Yes. With the difficulty of the handbook.
They are practical people. How do you choose them? How are they chosen?
Well, they're chosen by the trustees. They have two terms that they're allowed to serve of 3 years each. The second term comes with good behaviour, of course. And it's based on submission by the individuals directly to the trustees, and they consider the criteria for participation in the committee and the, let's say, the calibre of the applicants to determine who is appropriate for appointment as the vacancies arise. So it's really a question of the best person for the job at the time. The trustees, of course, do make sure that there is a proper geographical and background balance, because in that way, yes, no one sector is dominating the work of the committee.
Thank you very much, Bob, and thank you, Michael. If you want to learn more about the Interpretations Committee's decisions and current discussions, you can download the latest podcast and Accurate, and access the committee's latest newsletter, IFRIC Update, from the main ISB website. Goodbye.